Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, May 11th. We're glad you're tuned in and listening over WSOF Radio and WAJJ Radio. We're glad to be able to make these broadcasts and send them your way. I want to remind you, we do have these in what's called podcast form on our website at WSOF.org. You can download those. It's this entire broadcast minus the music, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you nonetheless. And I want to encourage you to go there and avail yourself of that opportunity. Also want to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. We're having a ladies meeting here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, the ladies of Island Ford, and some other ladies coming in. And Sister Norma Raines, wife of Dr. Larry Raines, will be speaking to the ladies. And then on Sunday, she's going to be teaching in the ladies' Sunday school class, and Dr. Raines is going to be preaching in the morning, in the a.m., and then in the evening there at the p.m. service as well, here at Island Ford Baptist Church. We're easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road. Love to have you come and be a part of those services with us if you can. That morning service, Sunday school, will start at 10:15, preaching at 11:05, and then the evening service at 6:30. Love to make your acquaintance and have you with us at that time. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the good day you've given us. Father, I do pray that you would bless my wife and I as we travel to Knoxville, Tennessee. Help us be a blessing to the Gupton family. I pray for their grief-stricken heart. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort them and meet their needs. I pray for those that are physically afflicted that we request prayer for. Lord, would you meet their needs? I ask you, Lord, to touch this broadcast and use it according to thy will. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, I certainly appreciate you praying with us. And I've got two songs lined up right now on the broadcast before we go to the message from Malachi chapter number 2. This will be the final message this week on this particular point. We'll be going to another point, Lord willing, next week, also in Malachi chapter 2. Right now we're in verses 1 through 3, primarily studying those verses. I've got two songs here by the Shepherd family, and both of these recorded around the same time and on the same CD. The first one's entitled Sandy Creek Revival, talking about revival in America. And then the second one is just a fun song. It says, I want to go there, and hope these songs be a blessing to your heart. Then the message from the Word of God. Reading from the Word of God in Malachi chapter number 2 and Malachi chapter number 3. And so we're going to be looking at this book of Malachi. This is the fourth message. We've dealt with three already. I'll say more about that as we move on. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? That's where I'm taking my title. Where is the God of judgment? Chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So we're starting at the front, and we're headed towards the center, and we're seeing the purpose of what that was written there. But he's dealing primarily with the priest in this verse. O priest, this commandment is for you. Verse 2, if ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. And one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and my commandment, or that my commandment might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear which he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. God has contempt for that. God has a complaint to these priests because they're not listening to what he's saying. God warns them that he will curse them for not listening to him, and even declares that they're already cursed. He declares he'll even curse their blessings. Now, isn't that something? Things we thank God for, God said, some of those things are going to turn around and be a curse to you instead of a blessing. Well, God said, I'm going to even curse what you call blessings. The next verse discloses how that curse comes upon them. He says there's the corruption. Verse number 3, the corruption of the priests. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. He details the curse as being corrupt seed. Seed. Corrupt seed. What is the seed? Well, that predominantly would mean their descendants. Isn't that right? Their descendants. Their children are going to be under a curse because their fathers were living a cursed life before them. God help us, amen. I'm telling you, preachers, we have a great responsibility ahead of us, amen, and laid on our shoulders. Daddies, we've got a great responsibility laid on our shoulders as the priest of the family, amen, as the leader of the home. We've got a great responsibility on our shoulders. Let's don't let down this generation by letting down God. Terribly sad to observe, but those who should stand, don't stand. And this should stand as a solemn warning. When you don't stand, it destroys your own family. The corrupted seed could also not only talk about their children, but could deal with their followers. Corrupted seed. What you've sown is going to come up to be corrupt as well. In other words, instead of producing saints that are a blessing to the community around them, these disobedient preachers produce delinquent professors who cause the name of Christianity to stink in the nostrils of those that observe their lifestyle. Amen. This is corrupt seed. When I pass by a church and I see men and women coming out of there in shorts, I see women coming out of there in pants, I see them coming out there looking worldly and wicked, hey, I'm telling you, that stinks in my nostrils. And I say, what good is that place calls itself a church when they're not preaching the truth? Amen. And it's not just clothing. There's a million things. He talked about their corrupt seed. Verse 3 not only mentions about their seed being corrupt and cursed, but he talks about their shame. He says, behold, I will corrupt your seed and I will spread dung upon your faces. That's talking about shame. That's pictorial language in the King James Bible. Pictorial language that is showing you a picture of the shamefulness of their sin. What could be more shameful than to have feces on your face? What could be more shameful? But, I mean, shameful that they'd come out with such on their face and be presenting that to the people. God said, I'm going to show your shame. Not just I'm going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. Amen. Brother Larry Wells said this one time. I said it here, but I heard him say it one time. He said that he believed that God would show a man what's in his heart. Whether it's a man, woman, boy, or girl, God will show a person what's in their heart so they can deal with it. But if they will not deal with it, he said God will show the world what's in their heart. Boy, I believe that's right. God help us. Amen. These men, God said, I'm going to make you shameful. They were preaching shameful sermons. Therefore, God declares he's going to throw their stinking, rotten, and shameful words back in their face. By the way, it may shock some people that only hear of a God of love. It may shock them to hear about a God that speaks so severely and judges so severely those that disregard the Word of God. It may shock them. This judgment is declared on the priests who it is in direct response to their rejection and disregard to the Word of God. Amen. These people claim to know God. They claim to serve God. And yet they disregard God's Word. Listen to me. It's the same today. If you claim to know God, you claim to serve God, and yet you refuse to listen to God, you live in direct rejection and disregard to the Word of God. It provokes God to anger. It's one thing for a child to misbehave when they don't know that. As a child, I remember one time, and I'm not going to get graphic in this, but I remember one time as a little child, my dad was working on some pigs, and he was doing that, and my aunt and uncle came up, and I ran out to the house to get another knife, and my aunt said, what's Plato doing? Well, I told her what he was doing. I didn't know. I wasn't supposed to tell her what he was doing. I just said it like it was, but I found out you don't say that, and I ain't never said it again in mixed company, because I learned better. Are you listening to me? The point I'm making, and I know, listen, some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you don't. It's all right that you don't. And don't ask me to explain it because I learned you don't explain that kind of stuff. But here's where I'm at. Are you listening? It's one thing to disobey and not even know you're disrespecting or disobeying, but it's another thing to know it. Stiffen your neck, harden your heart, and walk headlong in disobedience. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, you're asking for Daddy's wrath and judgment on you. Amen. You're asking for God the Father's wrath and judgment, and He judges severely those that blatantly disregard His Word. Amen. This judgment is declared on those priests because they had provoked God. They provoked His anger. They provoked His wrath. They provoked His judgment. The same God who is merciful, loving, kind-hearted, long-suffering to usward is also a God of judgment and wrath and anger. Amen. There's numerous responses in the Scripture. I'll give you a few and I'm moving on. In Exodus chapter number 4, verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You remember that? Moses is at the burning bush. God said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose. Let my people go. Moses gives him every excuse he can think of, and God finally got tired of it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, disregarding God's commands. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Amen. I'm talking about God can be a God of wrath when He's made angry. Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 and 22. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. See, Balaam had asked for permission to go. God said, don't go. Balaam asked again. God said, don't go. Balaam kept asking. And finally God said, all right, go ahead. In other words, God's not saying you're in my will. But he said, go ahead and see what happens. And God's anger was kindled at him for going against the command of God. Disregarding God's will. Disregarding God's command. And moving on in his self-will, God was moved to anger and withstood him. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 14 through 16. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. I'm going to say something right here. I want you to listen. God does not have to apologize when He is provoked to anger. Amen. God does not have to apologize when He is provoked to anger, because even in His anger, He is a holy God, and it is a holy anger. I may get mad and have to apologize for it because I handle it wrong. But God will never handle it wrong. When God sends wrath, it'll be a holy wrath. When God sends judgment, it'll be a holy judgment. And the judge of all the earth will do right. Amen. Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. You remember this? For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. When Achan disregarded God's command, when Achan disrespected what God had to say, did what he wanted to do, he brought the wrath of God not only upon himself, but on the children of God as well. Made God angry. John chapter 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh my. Seems to me like we're living in a day when people have the idea that there's a God in heaven just hoping that He will be blessed with them coming into His kingdom. They don't recognize that the wrath of God is over their head and that they had better be hoping that that wrath doesn't fall on them. They had better be hoping that the God of wrath will, in wrath, remember mercy and have a little mercy. Amen. Sinners come down the aisle chomping their chewing gum, playing their games and act like, well, God's going to get me. If God gets me, He's going to get something good. I'm going to tell you, God never received sinners that way. I believe God received sinners that know they need God. God don't need us. We need God. Amen. Recognize I don't have anything to offer Him. He is everything and He's what I need. Amen. That's the only kind of sinner I believe God accepts. Amen. Well, the fact that mainstream religion ignores God, it denies this God of judgment, shows us that we're guilty of the very sin that God said. They're disregarding the God of the Bible. Disregarding that God. Brother James Knox pastors the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida. Brother Gray loaned me a book by him on the book of Malachi. I read it. It's lengthy, but I'm going to tell you, that book burns a hole, buddy, right through it. He's got about 100 pages just on these first few verses of chapter 2. Now, here's a quote. I want to read this quote to you, and you listen to see if this is not true. He's talking about the God of judgment. He said, "This is the God that never appears on TBN or PTL. This is the God who was dismissed from the mainline denominations 100 years ago and from the charismatic movement in the 1980s. This is the God who has never been invited to attend a mega church. He will not participate in your Valentine banquet, your Halloween party, your Christian school dance, or your ecumenical sunrise service. He does not think bigger is better. He does not think that it is good when you ignore 90% of the Bible so the heathen can feel comfortable at your church." And then he said, oops, I mean worship center. God don't get all excited because you got a crowd and you're not feeding the crowd. See what I'm saying? God says, feed the people. You remember, it's right there in the book of John, and we had it in Sunday school. I believe that crowd came and they said, send them away. The Lord said, don't send them away hungry. Give them something. I'm telling you, God's going to hold us responsible as preachers, as ministers. And by the way, He's going to hold us as a church responsible. We invite sinners. We better pray and have the right spirit here and have the right preaching here, have the right power here so they don't leave like they came, so they don't have to leave like they came or worse than they came. Amen. Brother Knox is exactly right about God of the Bible not being the God that is going along with all these worldly things in the name of religion. Amen. I'm almost done. You remember Cain in Genesis chapter number 4? I'm sure you do. Cain was not an atheist. Cain had religion. But his religion was man-made. Amen. Amen. He had a desire to worship God, but he wanted God to bend to his will rather than him bowing to the will of God. Amen. Amen. Cain brought forth his offering, which by the way looked mighty good to him. Beautiful in his own eyes. And he thought that God ought to count it as a blessing. But God called it a curse. He cursed what Cain called a blessing. Amen. Amen. God cursed what Cain called a blessing. That's what God's warning these priests throughout Malachi that He's going to do. By the way, listen here. The God of the Bible is not a God of tolerance. He's the God of truth.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm closing. I ask you today, have you ever come under the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you in a religion, you went down the Romans road, and you prayed a prayer, but you never submitted to God? And I'm not trying to make you doubt. I'm trying to make you search and see where are we. Because this world's full of people that have religion with no relationship. They still have rebellion in their heart towards authority. I mean, not only just the authority of man, but rebellion at the authority of God. They'll say, I don't care what the Bible says. Boy, I'm telling you, that is a dangerous position to be in. Is your life now regulated and ruled by the Word of God? Were you just looking for a fire escape? Do you care what the Bible has to say about your dress code, your moral code, your marital situation? Do you care if your life's living in accordance to your own desires, or are you living in the desires of God and the Word of God? Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.